The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Welcome in to the Lotus Place. It is Wednesday, May 18th, 2016. We are just plowing through this month. Time's flying right on by us. I hope that you are working on your New Year's goals and resolutions and all of the things that you said that you would do this year. I hope that you are making your dreams come true every single day of your life. Carpe diem, live life to the fullest. We want you to call in and talk to us tonight about what's on your mind here at the Lotus Place, so join us. You can call in, tune in, just give us a call. The number for you to dial is 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 549-022 and press pound so that you can come on and say what you would like to say and share your thoughts and comments. And if you'd like to speak, share your comments along with us, just press *61 and we will get you right in. So, I want to talk about something that I heard in the news today. Well, not just today, like over the past week I've been hearing quite a few comments and commentary of people, of course, speaking about the election since this is the election season. And so many people are, those on the Democratic side, are saying that Bernie Sanders should drop out of the race, concede, and back Hillary Clinton. And so there, from my understanding, these hashtags trending, so Bernie or bust, and then we have, let's see, what is it, hold your nose and vote for Hillary. I almost said Hillary. Hillary. And just listening to people so passionately speak as to why we should vote for Hillary Clinton, and we should, Bernie should just drop out of the race, but they never say Hillary, there's no delineation of any actions, bills, or any ways help people, in particular people, her and her husband, There's never no delineation of anything that she has done as to why we should vote for her. And so it just, and I'm scratching my head now. I scratch my head when I hear things. I'm like, I mean, just convince me. Since I should, convince me. Tell me why. I've yet to hear. I would love for someone to just call us tonight and just convince me as to why I should hashtag hold my nose and vote for Hillary. I mean, I think it's a really cute hashtag, but oh my God, no way. I'm not holding my nose and voting for Hillary Clinton just because. And I really don't understand why people want Bernie Sanders to drop out. And I'm not even into politics like that, to be honest with you. I could care less about either one of them. But I just don't understand why people would say Bernie should drop out. So I actually want to play this clip of one of Bernie Sanders' supporters, how she just basically slays one of Hillary Clinton's supporters.
Yanne Indigo is a Bernie Sanders supporter who is Bernie or bust, and she was on CNN talking to a pro-Hillary pundit and a pro-Hillary Democratic strategist and discussing why she was Bernie or bust. And throughout the whole segment, both the pundit and the strategist were being incredibly smug and condescending to her because of her Bernie or bust position. Now, what she did in return was just calmly and articulately slay them both with the facts. So take a look, and then we'll come back and discuss this.
So Yanne, I want to start with you. It's virtually impossible for Senator Sanders to win the nomination. So why is it Bernie or bust for you?
You know, a lot of people, they perceive the Bernie or bust movement as being something that's almost like a temper tantrum for people who support Bernie. And I think it's really important for people to understand that Bernie or bust is really a representation of how we feel about Hillary Clinton. We don't like Hillary Clinton, and we can't support her.
So, Yanne, under no circumstances would you vote for Hillary?
Wait, I just have to pause it right there. I love it. I love it when she says we don't like Hillary Clinton. Just plain and simple, it is what it is. You just don't like her. I get it. I love it. I love it. No beating around the bush. Let's get back to it.
Do you vote for Hillary Clinton?
I'm definitely not going to vote for her.
So Emily, you're a Democratic strategist. You're a Clinton supporter. So convince Yanne she's wrong.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry to hear that. And I do think there are a lot of people that are open to supporting Hillary. And really, the difference between the candidates has always really been in degree and not in kind. Look, there's no question that Sanders brought forward a lot of issues that really tapped into what a lot of people are feeling in this country right now and want to be talking about: income inequality, affordable college. He talked about free college. He talks about affordable college, money in politics. But the reality is that these are issues that she actually had in her platform, have always been a part of her platform, and she talks about increasingly more. He did put a real spotlight on them. He talks about them in very simplistic terms. And so I think it has forced her and her campaign to talk about them much more broadly and put them more front and center. But look, this general election is going to be about moving forward.
Because I want to see if any of that makes sense to Yanne. So when you hear Emily say those things, what do you think, Yanne?
Well, there are a few things I think. I think, first of all, that Hillary Clinton says things that aren't always what she means and aren't what she believes in. And she's demonstrated that, and one of the clearest ways that she's demonstrated that was in 2008 when she was running against then-Senator Obama for president, and she claimed that she was going to, that she was against the Colombian Free Trade Agreement, and that she was going to be basically lobbying against that, and that's what she said publicly during her campaigning. But when her emails came out, we saw that what she was actually doing behind the scenes, out of the public eye, was actually lobbying for that exact agreement. So that's evidence for us that what Hillary Clinton says in order to win the election doesn't really have anything to do with what it is that she's going to actually do if she becomes the president. And so whatever she's talking about in her platform, I just don't trust her.
I think you've hit the nail on the head. You just don't trust her. And Emily, Mrs. Clinton does have a trust issue. So what can you say to voters like Yane to say, yes, you can now trust Hillary Clinton. She means what she says.
Yeah, that is clearly her highest vulnerability. That is something that we do see, pervasive. And this has been a theme of media attacks on her for the last 20 years. Look, we forget the fact that most politicians come into the main stage at the same time to America. Maybe their state knows them, maybe their district knows them, but people generally get to know them all at the same time. That is not the case with Clinton, and there have always been these attacks on her for whatever reason. But I think that as we get more into her, you know, her history, her commitment, that we see that she actually always has been committed to fighting for people that don't have a voice.
Well, it's actually
always
been
there in her public service.
Yane, go
ahead. It's her history that actually, it's not simply, it's not just the Colombian Free Trade Agreement. It's what the State Department did under her leadership going into Haiti, and when they wanted to raise the minimum wage for the Haitians from 24 cents an hour to 61 cents an hour, they negotiated down to 31 cents an hour. It's the regime change in Honduras and all of the people who are dying as a result of Clinton's influence in Honduras after they had their first democratic election. It's the mistake of the Iraq War. It's the mistake of...
Okay, now I'm so glad that she mentioned Haiti and Honduras, because if you listen to some Haitians, they will tell you the Clintons have robbed them. They own more land there now because of their little so-called foundations and their money that they were supposed to, the millions of dollars that was donated to these foundations in order to help rebuild Haiti after the earthquake. And they only built like six homes. Only six homes were built out of the millions of dollars that they raised. Okay? And so talk to some Haitians. If you don't believe me, talk to some Haitians and let them tell you what they're experiencing with the Clintons owning all of their land. So anyway, in Honduras, Berta Cáceres was just assassinated, who was fighting against environmental terrorists and State Department, Hillary Clinton and her coups and all of this is allegedly what has led to her death. So check that out. Do your research.
Of Libya. It's her history that causes us questions, and so now she's saying new things, and she's saying new things that are popular. Suddenly she realizes that the importance of Black Lives Matter because of the Black Lives Matter movement, and these things don't seem genuine. They seem like what she needs to say in order to get elected. We don't trust what she says, and we don't like what she's done. And so for those combined reasons, we won't vote for Hillary Clinton.
Okay, last word, Emily. Look, I think that people read into what they believe what they want to believe, right? Like, you can discount pieces of past if you don't think they fit with a current narrative. I think there is a lot to be said for somebody who can learn from their past mistakes and say, look, we tried it. It didn't work. We're moving forward with something that does work. That is what we want in a leader. That is what we want with the President of the United States. And I don't think that we're seeing that, honestly, across the board in any other of the candidates.
All right. I have to leave it there.
What I want in a leader is a person who has foresight. I want a leader who has foresight, who has the ability to know in 1994 that there are issues with the crime bill, not to look back after thousands of lives have been destroyed and families have been destroyed and say, ooh, I made a mistake. I want somebody who has foresight to say, no, I'm not going to vote for the Iraq war because that's wrong. Not somebody who's going to later on say, oops, that was a mistake. I don't think our country can afford the mistakes that come with hindsight. We want somebody who has the foresight to make the right decisions in the beginning.
Okay, I have to leave it there.
No, I'm conflicted because even though I loved the segment because she completely destroyed them, I actually felt really frustrated because...
Oh my gosh, she did. I'm so glad that she came with the facts. Let me see, is this this Brother Brown?
Yes, how you doing? Sorry, I'm late. Right. I have a little emergency I had to take care
of. Okay, Brother Brown, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing wonderful. I was listening to the...
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to that clip, and I just want to tell the listening audience, this woman is slick with words, but we shouldn't have to go back to the drawing board every 4 years in Black America. We have been relentlessly since 1865 for almost 200 years. We have been relentlessly praying for somebody to get in the White House to do something for us. Mm-hmm. And my point is that when will we break away from the colonized mind? There are three mindsets that we're dealing with in Black America. And the beginning of that colonized mind, we are accepted, like Frederick Douglass said, when you become a slave, you accept the elements of your enslavement. So you have been too acceptive of the policies of this country that has never benefited us. Mm-hmm. And here we are in 2016, still relying, after all the information that's been researched and put before us, we are still doing the same thing. Now, my theory is this. If you do the same thing over and over and over again, you get the same result. It's called insanity. Mm-hmm. So with that colonized mindset, there comes an insane mindset. You know, I hear people relentlessly talk about these so-called leaders like Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, and they focus on these values of this supposed to be leadership, the NAACP and people like that. Well, my thing is this. If these people have never benefited us as a whole and always had their hands out like the slaves, okay, we already know that. Let's not spend a whole another year dealing with that. There are so many options. Yeah, we don't even deal with that mindset. Because guess what? I don't care how much you vote, and we have now seen whoever we vote, allegedly vote for, nobody, nothing for Black people.
Uh-uh.
Unless you do. Yeah. See,
but
they
you know
can't.
What?
Go ahead.
I just wanted to say real quickly too, Brother Brown. I don't think that we as Black people, in fact, I don't see us really pushing a real agenda to, say, a president. We should appear and let Al Sharpton, Alex, and Dan Jealous, and what's his name, the other one, tell us that they're going to the White House to talk to President Obama about the Black agenda. Well, I guess the Black agenda was shoot them and kill them and choke them down on the street because that's all that we saw over the past 8 years.
That's it.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. The agenda for Black America has not changed in the last 8 years from what it was the previous 8 years. Okay? And if we can't see that...
yeah.
That we can't see that because they allowed them to give us an illusion by putting a so-called biracial president in the White House. And we have not seen this, that nothing has changed. And we're sitting there saying, well, what did Obama do for us? And that makes us ignorant. And I hate to say that. We look for him to do something for us. But when did we try to do something for ourselves?
Yeah.
We did.
What did we try to do?
We sit back and we said, well, you know, we're going to the polls and we're going to campaign for him to be the Black president. A Black president run by an all-white country that's still built and still practicing the same racism and white supremacy that it did when our ancestors were in chains of enslavement. And you know, another misnomer that we have relentlessly stated over the years is that, you know, they went to Africa and picked some slaves. No, they didn't. And I had to be correcting myself after my research. They went to actually went to Africa and declared war upon the African people. And in the process of that, they captured prisoners of war and brought them to the Western Hemisphere and made them out of slaves. physically made them out of slaves, changed their mindset from what it was when they were free in Africa, and made them what we see today with the results. People, we got some intelligent minds out there. So, and when we talk really about the political agenda, it's the same thing going all the time. Your vote don't count. Okay, I explained it to a guy the other day. He was astounded because he didn't know it. He lives in an all-white community that's gated. So I asked him a question. I said, "You going to vote?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "You going to vote for it?" He said, "I'm voting for Hillary." I said, "Why?" "Well, I'm not a Republican." And I said, "Well, do you know that you live in an all-white community and that precinct is carried by the Republican vote? If the Republicans win that precinct, don't you know your vote don't count?" And all people got to do the research. The votes are counted in a general election as well as any election by the precinct that you live in. And if there are more white people voters in a precinct, they determine the vote. You don't determine anything. And this has been going on since 1865. We're still doing this. I mean, we can't continue to go the same route. We haven't done any organizing. We haven't sit down and discuss what we're going to do. And I posted something on Facebook they call the African Liberation Diaspora Party. We need to create a political party, not for political reasons, okay, to register as many people as we can and hold the vote. Don't vote for anybody. Be registered on the roll. And you know why I say that? Because when they see 25,000 or 2,000 people that's registered, they will come to you. See, we have a playback.
So you're saying, like, just hold your vote. Just don't vote.
Let them come to you. The more people you register, you make them come to you. If they look at the voter rolls, they look at the precinct and say, "Well, damn, it's 1,500 people over there. That's 1,500 votes, and I need those votes." So when they come to you with a preacher, you say, "Well, he's not included. You know, we don't need him to be our spokesperson. I got my own spokesperson." Yeah, if it's on a local agenda, fine, you do the same thing. You register as many people, let them come to you, then you have an agenda. And you tell them, "If my agenda is not met, okay, I'm not going to support your businesses, and I'm not going to give you my vote."
Not giving up the vote.
I'm not giving you my vote until you put it in writing what you're going to do for us as a group.
Well, you know what, and that's in my opinion, that's how it should be. That should be the process of it all. Why am I voting for you? And all of this, I'm not going to do. I mean, look, you don't have anything to do with Texas. You do not control that. When these
that's
people
right.
say that when people see rate increase something, it gets increased. Okay, say for instance, when people were arguing for the 15 an hour, okay. Background. Let me turn the volume off of this computer. People were arguing for $15 an hour, which I thought was too low because, according to economists, minimum wage right now should be at least $21.75 an hour. These people only asking for $15, damn, and you don't even want to give them that. And so the argument on the fast food side or the business industry was, well, if we increase your wages, then we have to increase the prices. Okay, you increase the prices anyway. Prices in the grocery store and fast food went up last year. It went up.
That's right.
And what they do is they increase it 5 or 10 cents.
That's right.
Okay, or sometimes 30 cents.
They inch up and then they get the 99 cent rule. But some of them can be $3.99, less $4.99.
Yes, and so
it's not a whole lot.
I'm trying to say that you can't give these people an increase. It makes no sense. Look, and Brother Brown, you know, George Zimmerman sold the gun that he used to kill Trayvon Martin. They say for more than $120,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's disgusting. This is absolutely disgusting. I think that is just disgusting.
I'm going to share this with you. That is the same thing.
Oh, well, I didn't even see Mother Dunn in there. I'm so sorry, Brother Brown. Mother Dunn, I'm so sorry. I didn't see you there, dear. How are you? Welcome.
Fine. How you doing? Hi, Brother Brown.
How you doing, Brother Brown? All right.
Good. Well, Brother Brown was getting ready to share something with us.
Yeah, right, I was listening about that Trayvon Martin. Ooh, that ticked me off.
Well, see, that's the same thing. There's nothing new, because that's the same thing they did when they killed Emmett Till. Soon as the trial was over, look it up. Soon as the trial was over with Emmett Till, they was acquitted back in Monday, Mississippi. They went the next day, sold their story and the pictures to either Life or Look magazine. And after they confessed, even in public, that they told how they killed him. How they kidnapped him. They went out and kidnapped him. They took him out in the woods. They beat him. They hung him. They tied a fan. They shot him in there. They tied a fan around his neck and they drowned him. I think they put him in the Chattahoochee River. They shared all of that information with Book Magazine and sold the rights to them. So this is nothing new. We live in a country that is a racist country. So when you're dealing with that element, it shouldn't be nothing new to us. And if we think that these things are something new, all we have to do is start researching our own history. Researching our history instead of listening to his story. We have listened to his story for over 2,000 years, and his story has never changed. It's all about white supremacy. They control every aspect of the American life. Able to all politics, entertainment, sports, education, they control it all. Now, when you go to college, the majority of the books, and I'm sure you can attest to this, the majority of the books that we use in college, they're all written by Europeans. 90% of what we read and what we educate ourselves with on that level is written by Europeans. From history books, you know, all of political science, all of the books that need are written by Europeans.
Even the books that are in your African studies classes, like what I was my degree program. But I want to say this too, Brown, to dovetail what you're saying. And then when you're in the classes, everything is attributed to the Greeks. This is drilled in your head, and it's never mentioned that the Greeks that you call Greeks now, or those Greeks that you're speaking of, those Greeks learned from the Africans.
Mm-hmm.
You never mention that, but you always talk about Socrates. These people sit at the foot of the Africans, the Nubians. Yeah.
When they came to ancient Kemet, number one, they had to have a passport to get into the country. Up the Mediterranean. They had to have a passport. Number two, they were never given 360 degrees of learning.
Brother Brown, your phone is breaking up a little bit. I'll tell you what, let's take a quick break. We're right at the half hour. Let's take a quick break, and we will be right back. You're tuned in to the Lotus Place here. We want to know what's on your mind. Well, call us and let us know what's on your mind tonight.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium. Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
And we are back here at the Lotus Place. We want you to call in and share what's on your mind. The number to dial is 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 5490. To press pound. Log on to Blue Talk Radio Network to hear this show and previous shows, as well as all the other fabulous and informative shows on the Blue Talk Radio Network. And we want you to go to that donate page and donate. You can get your Blue Talk Matters t-shirt and donate to keep these programs coming to you on a daily basis. You are here with Black Rose and Delta Kuga. And Delta, we have a letter for you tonight, so don't let me skip that. And Brother Brown. We talk about everything, election madness, and I'll tell you this. Now, this is, we need to have a show on this, the college scam. The college scam, that's some scam. Crap. I mean, it's great to get to obtain education because education is key, but if you pay for it, make sure you go on a scholarship or just study yourself. Look, when I lived in Miami, I was speaking to someone about this, I think yesterday. When I lived in Miami, every day on the news just about that, there was some doctor or a person pretending or practicing as a doctor, never set foot in a medical school, but a doctor in the hospital for 20 years, performing surgery and seeing patients, winning awards and all kinds of things. Never went to medical school. So, anyway, Delta, you have some hot topics for us?
Yes, I sure do. I'm glad to be on the Lotus Place tonight because we have so many good things. Well, in New York City, there was a police officer, and his name is Mike, and there was a black woman. She called the police because she couldn't find her daughter. She had just had a baby, and she had like a teenage daughter, and the teenage daughter ran away from home, and so the mother couldn't get out to look for the child, so she called the policeman. She called the policeman in New York City. His name was Mike. He came to the house. When he came to the house, y'all won't believe this. This is a true story. He raped the black lady in her own home.
What?
He raped her. Yeah.
The police officer came to the woman's house after she called him for help.
Listen, yeah. And I got it off of News One by Roland Martin. I saw it on Roland Martin because Roland Martin had the lady on there and it had the lady's lawyer on there. And listen at this. The lady called the police because she couldn't find her daughter because she couldn't go out and look for her daughter because she just had a baby. So the lady called the police the next thing. The lady said when she knew anything, the police started coming towards her and acting, you know, kind of unusual. The lady said next thing, you know, the police raped her. And immediately when the police left, the lady went to the hospital, called the police, and pressed charges. Come to find out, the officer, when they had his DNA, this is what he said. He said it was consensual sex. Okay, come to find out, this same white officer had raped another black woman. she called him out to the
Brother Daniel Hall's part.
And he raped her. Mm-hmm. But what happened was, excuse me, this wasn't the first time, even when the lady filed the charges on him, this wasn't the first time the police had heard about this. The lawyer says they had got warning from him before. The police department had been warned by several other women that this was going on. Do you not know they went to court? He told them that it was consensual sex. They didn't believe it, but he was still found not guilty. But this is what he said. He says that they have a law on the books, the lawyer says, that if she don't fight back and she don't scream and she don't tell him to stop, it's not considered a rape. Roland Martin said, how in the H that this woman gonna fight back when a police have a gun on his hip? And the lady said she was so afraid because she literally thought the police was going to kill her. And he went before the jury, and they found him not guilty because the law on the book said if she didn't scream or fight back, it was not considered a rape. Now, this law is only for the policeman. Have Mr. Brown ever heard of it? Yeah, have Mr. Brown ever heard of anything like this? It was on Roland Martin. I got it off the news this morning.
Well, you know, it's a white judge. 9 times out of 10, it was a majority white jury. It's a white prosecutor. And it's a white lawyer.
The system is rigged.
Okay, so, you know, we're looking at a stacked deck. We're looking at a stacked deck. There is no justice for us.
How you gonna call the law to your house and the law turn around and rape you? And they said in New York, they knew he was doing it. They knew he was doing it.
I'm sure they did. Just like they knew Daniel Hall's plot and a lot of these other small cops and producers and everybody else. Forcing people to have sex with them, threatening them, raping them, just violating people, period. They know. But again, I have to say what Brother Brown said. This is what they do, and it is nothing new. That's going to be my new thing. This is what they do, and it is nothing new. They used to rape us on the ships. They raped us in the cabin. They rape us on the job. They rape us, period. Period. Like my aunt said, they raping us by constantly keeping us forced to live in certain neighborhoods. It's a rape by disenfranchising us, redlining us. They still redlining us. They redline you by keeping you in a certain income level where you can't live where they want you to live, not next door to them.
Right. And those who live next door to them who think that they have arrived, they don't find out. Because the controversy right now, and looking at this political circus, is that Bernie Sanders is a good house. Okay, when I said that, he knows the more money he raised, the more he can stick in his pocket. So he's hanging in there for dear life. Because he's economically, he's on the economic strength right now, prior to this election. Okay, so he's playing the UK. That's what he's playing. He can't win because of who Hillary is and the money that she has backing her. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be, and I told you this, I told you this mother done it months ago. I said, it's going to end up being Hillary Clinton. Donald Trump.
It's a done deal.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, King B, I'm so sorry I didn't see that, King B. What's going
That's
on?
Okay.
I was trying to post our show here. Make sure people
Hey, Brown, how's everybody
hey,
doing?
How's it going?
I concur with what you were saying, Brown, and we got to also look at that word apartheid. That word and white supremacy is quite prominent, and our people still have not latched on to knowing the nature of the beast. They hate us for surviving for all this time, and they are trying now to, they don't want to let us down easy as to how they're going to deal with us when Obama leaves office. But we are facing, I keep telling people who listen, we are facing an imminent race war. And just like Martin Delaney tried to warn us that this government led by the Republicans in the North was going to take away and succeeded in taking away our Reconstruction rights, they're going to now have this Nazi, homegrown Nazi, coming to the White House. And that blacks will be the last to be informed that whites will have their revenge on us because they have the propensity to always thing this thing you call scapegoat. And the race that they fit is the most number one, most ardent nemesis is us. And we've been so eager trying to kiss up to this white man and not realizing that we are in deep, deep, worse doo-doo than like never before because no one is officially telling us that we're facing an imminent race war.
Well,
and we're the least, we have no outside forces that we know of that can come to our rescue. We have no leadership that is in the pulpit or in politics telling us anything that would be letting us know that the white man is truly uptight with this thing you call the year 2034, which is the official year that white folks will be declared the minority in this country. And that's one of the major catalysts that's driving white folks to Trump, because he's a white nationalist who is talking that thing you call military science and this idea of legal lease. Black folks still don't understand the white man speaks bilingual.
Yeah, well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, King B. Have you heard the two hashtags that are trending? One is hashtag Bernie or Bust. And so that particular hashtag stems from the people who feel as though they're either going to vote for Bernie or they're just not going to vote at all for either one of Bernie or Hillary.
Right.
Then there's the other hashtag, hashtag hold your nose Hillary or hold your nose to vote for Hillary or something like that, whatever.
Well, I've heard one definite thing with the first hashtag, which is
Bernie or Bust.
Yes, and the forces supporting Bernie, they said absolutely not will they ever give Hillary their support.
Absolutely.
They hate her. They hate her like they hate cancer.
Oh my God! I want you to share just a little bit, and I want to play this clip on Superdelegates, a little bit on Hillary Clinton, well, the Clintons' involvement, because it's her husband, it's her brother. They have a whole group of people that are working their jelly in Haiti, stealing all of the land from the people.
And why is Bernie being so kind to her? And I pointed this out. I don't understand this man supposed to be so passionately talking about a political revolution, and here's this woman with her brother and her husband stealing 1,000 acres of land, that built 2 skyscraper hotels, is trying to ram the next leader of Haiti down the throat of the people of Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
It's just unbelievable. Forget the Congressional Black Caucus. They are clueless, rendering them to be useless. And then you've got the NAACP, again, clueless and useless. But the very idea, Bernie knows it better than we do how Hillary is running a dual campaign.
And let's not forget her connection in Honduras. I'm so sorry, Tim. But Deb was actually in the middle of giving her hot topics. But finish that up, and let me go back to Diesel because
Candy, did you hear about that? Because that was in Candy's neighborhood, in Candy's part of the country, where the police officer has been going around to the black women's house when they call in, and he's been raping them, and they just had a trial in New York, and they let him go. Have you heard about that, Candy?
It's been kept quiet in the black media, and I haven't heard anything with the so-called mainstream media, but gave it to Hillary. She admitted that she was involved with the overthrow of a duly elected president named Zelaya, but she's a very conniving snake. I call her a female anaconda. She said it was a coup. She won't dare say it was a military coup.
She won't say it was a military.
She won't say military coup because she knows damn well it would have meant America would have to admit it was a coup that brought down a democratic election. So she plays this game, but she was full steam ahead in supporting the gangsters that overthrew this man. They had this man come out in his pajamas. Went into his mansion and brought him out in his pajamas.
The people voted for.
Yes.
The United States government decided, we don't want that person.
No,
we're
going to
put who we want in office over
you
people.
What happened in Venezuela, Argentina, what's this other country? These other Latin American countries that's going leftist. This was the weakest. Honduras is the weakest link in these Latin American countries. You see what happened in Brazil? This woman president, she's been overthrown by the biggest gangsters in Brazil. These are gangsters in Brazil.
And he put in an all-white cabinet. Delta, come on, bring us back to your hut.
Yes.
Okay, and let me tell you about this other one. Okay, and then up in Chicago, there was a 33-year-old man and a 8-year-old girl. The mother and them eating at a restaurant. The mother sends her 8-year-old daughter to the bathroom in Chicago. The man is hiding in the bathroom stall. See, this is what President Obama really opened up a can of worms. I mean, I'm not saying all transvestites and all, I don't even know the proper word to use.
Was the man
gay,
a transvestite?
Transgender. All people are not pedophiles. They all are not pedophiles. But what he did, he opened the door for all the pedophiles to go in. And now this man goes into the bathroom stall, and he's waiting in the bathroom stall. You can't stop him anymore because you can be sued now. He goes in the bathroom stall. Nobody knows he's there. And he goes up in there. This child goes and uses the bathroom, and he rapes this child in the bathroom.
Yeah, but like Brown said, was this man a transgender person? Was he a transvestite?
Right.
I don't know, but he's a white man. He's not transgender.
And we don't know if this man was a plant to subvert the real intention of having transgender people being able to choose what restaurant they want to go into. So you see, it's clear that if you go against what is before for the bait, and you see that many times it's you have provocateurs that will do anything if they're paid the right money. Provocateurs don't give a shit about being ethical. They're paid to create havoc, to disrupt.
I believe you on that.
I put nothing above the fascists in this country that dare not want to have this president take the credit for where people who are transgender, who truly want to change their have to change their style of sexual choice. I mean, to a lot of people, they're never just a gays. See, I'm not a homophobic, so I say, you know, like as long as they don't mess with my this style of living, I don't care. But I think that many times when you hear these incidents, this unfortunate incident that happened to this young girl in the bathroom, who knows if this was an agent provocateur to be paid to create what is hoping that can create this poison that would set people's minds to the point where no way, Jose, will they allow transgender to be in the Deep South, in the bathrooms in the Deep South. Don't forget, the Deep South never accepts blacks as equal. Still got a prison farm in Angola, Louisiana. No one's saying anything about how these people are being mistreated in these prison farms. Florida has the highest penal overcrowding in the prison system. But the idea that anything that they can do to discredit blacks, they're doing it. But as far as these transgender, they are not prepared to deal with agent provocateurs that will just go into the bedroom. And, yeah, they don't care about raping a child. That's all for the cause, for gaining the position that these transgender people are bad news.
I wouldn't say the transgender are bad news.
No, I mean, no, mm-hmm. that they are, but I'm saying the mentality but, to create your
okay.
mind. To create
okay,
your mind. See, they want to control your thought process, and these incidents, many times, check them out carefully. How did this man be able to go to a woman's bathroom and no one saw him?
But Target just passed a law on the news, and people are boycotting Target now. Target passed a law. The man, if you feel like you're a woman that day, you can go up in the woman's bathroom, and Target just passed the law that it's legal to do it. And so let me tell you one thing. Now, see, I'm from the Deep South, and I must speak my mind. No, I don't agree with all these homosexuals and all these lesbians and stuff. I do not agree with it. I do not agree with it.
Oh, don't say faggots. You cannot say faggots. No.
Why you
can't? Gay people.
This is what's wrong with them. But listen, they turning the kids out. They are turning the young people out. And if you try to speak against it and tell them not to do it, you're going to be vilified. And this is what, look at our community. We have never seen the way our young black men's doing now, walking down the street, hugging and kissing. They used to wouldn't do that. But now they're getting that white mentality, gay mentality in them. Everything goes. You can't say nothing to me. If you say something to me, I'm going to sue you. If you say something to me, I'm going to have your job. And this is what's going on. Everybody's scared to say anything. And if you don't stand up, somebody got to stand up. They are corrupting the children.
Well, let me say this. And I hear your cry, but my problem is, what are we doing to counterattack it?
Thank you, bro.
What are we doing? What plan do we have in place to counterattack? If we can't put anything in place but complain and complain and complain. All right, then what we're doing is throwing the baby out with the bath water. Because all we do is complain. We complain about organizations. If we're not satisfied with the organizations that have been around, that have virtually done nothing, don't complain about them. Start another one. Start one with an agenda. Let your agenda be known to the community that you live in, and then you work from there. We have to stop complaining. Because we're not doing any good. And if we don't move away from colonized mindset, and you know, let me just read this right quick. The colonized mind accepts or makes excuses for the behavior that has been imposed upon African people by white supremacy and racism. They pray for serenity. God grant me the serenity to accept the things that cannot change. We have been acceptable to whatever white folks say.
Thank you.
We keep talking about the preachers. Don't worry about them. Just don't go to church. Don't support this shit, because the longer we support it, the dumber we look.
Oh, Lord.
We keep renewing this for too long with no results. And then we want to know why white folks treat us in the mannerism that they do. They don't have to. As long as you control a man's mind thinking, then you control his action. If I control the way you think, I do not have to worry about what you're going to do. Because when I do something to you, the first thing you're going to do is pray. And the next thing you're going to do is I'm going to ask God to take care of it. If he hasn't taken care of this stuff in 2,000 years, what makes anybody think that something's going to change?
Well, Brother Brown, let's welcome in Icy Hot. He's on the line with us.
How you doing, my sister?
Hi, good evening. Sorry,
hey.
I was...
How are you?
How are you? Had a little league baseball today, so I'm just getting in.
Well, you were going to have energy then. You were going to
have energy.
Did
they win?
They tied. It was a tie.
Oh, okay. I know it was a good game.
It was.
And you know, we look at the statement that was made by one of the ball players the other night that played for OKC, and he made the statement.
That is correct, Brother Brown. That was one of my hot topics. Go ahead. Turn into it.
They asked him, you know, why he couldn't defend. What was his hardest job in defending? And he said, well, you know, they ran around like little monkeys.
Say it again, Brother Brown. Your phone is...
Can you hear me now?
Somebody's phone.
It's cracking up. Mm-hmm. It's cracking up.
Yeah. If they asked him what was his biggest thing in defending these people, and he said, well, you know, it was hard defending them because they were running around and running around and running around looking like little monkeys. So the newscaster on ESPN, Shannon Sharp, when they asked him what was offensive, and he tried to clean it up. He said, well, being that he don't come from this part of the world, and he comes from New Zealand, African people are on every continent on this planet. Whether they're indigenous Africans or not, you know, they're on every, they're in New Zealand.
And what's his name again? What's his basketball player's name?
His last name is Adams.
Oh, one with long hair.
Yeah, the one with the long hair. He's playing right now.
And he's from overseas too.
Yeah, he's from New Zealand.
He's just been here 5 years, and then
right. They
had a black news report on ESPN. Excuse me, Ms. Brown, on ESPN, the black news reporter gonna say, "Well, I'll give him a break because he don't know what he don't really know that that's really offensive." In America, how stupid do you
Everybody
sound, Uncle
that.
Tom? Uncle
you know,
Tom, that ain't nothing
yeah.
but Uncle Tom.
Tom.
Yeah. That's why he.
Okay,
played.
So he plays for the Thunder.
Okay,
he's a Thunder player, Stephen Adams.
They're losing terribly tonight. By the way, they're losing terribly tonight.
Okay, Oklahoma City Thunder center Stephen Adams. He apologized. Almost immediately Monday night after Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals for calling Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson quick little monkeys during a post-game interview. He called them quick little monkeys. So, yes, he comes from New Zealand, and he came to the U.S. in 2012.
But can I say something right quick? Now, the white man on ESPN, he said, if you look at his interview, he said that he paused before he made that statement. So So the white man said, he said, I'll fight. He said, my father fought for justice for everybody. He said, but if you look at this man's statement, he paused a few minutes. And he said it. He thought about it, and then, but he still said it. So he, if the apologize wasn't legit. So really, he looked like a big ape to me. He looked like a big.
He needs to go to church. You know what? I'm so glad you're on the line, Issa High, because she used the F word and, you know, her faggot word and all of it. I mean, she's just been.
I did. Like Brother Brown said, sometimes you got to fight with fire. Tonight I'm fighting with fire.
I'm glad I missed all that profanity then.
So much profanity and hatred from a Christian.
Like George Zimmerman, where's all them gangster thugs that these black thugs run around killing up themselves? Where they at? They need to be out hunting for Zimmerman. That's what they need to be doing instead of in Chicago and everywhere else killing up each other. They need to be out looking for Zimmerman.
Well, look, let's take a quick break, and hopefully Delta Cougar will drink her holy water. Papa, please sprinkle some
Bible
holy water on Delta.
There's a time to kill, and there's a time to let live.
Oh, sprinkle some holy water on her.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium. Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
It is possible in a democratic system for Bernie Sanders to win the majority of delegates and still lose the nomination. That is because of the so-called super delegates. Those are around 700 people, the elite of the Democratic Party, who can sway any election. Their vote is worth far more than that of any ordinary citizen. But how much do Americans know about the power of the so-called superdelegates and what they think about them? Did you know that superdelegates make up 30% of the total number of delegates that a Democratic candidate would need to win the nomination?
No, I didn't know that.
Do you know how much power superdelegates have to sway an election?
Superdelegates? I'm not exactly sure. Like a super PAC?
No. Do you know who superdelegates are?
I don't.
It's been a long time since I took a government class, so no, I don't think I recall.
It's still a system that's set up to make us think that we're really voting when the system is rigged, and it's just the way it is.
I see that you're a Bernie Sanders supporter.
Absolutely.
Do you know who superdelegates are?
Yes, I know those are the 500 bought votes that Hillary has when we go to Philadelphia in July, so we have to overcome that deficit.
The majority of people we asked did not know who superdelegates were. In the past, superdelegates adjusted their votes to match the popular vote, but they don't have to do that. The system is such that they can actually go against popular vote. The question is, how democratic is that? In Washington, I'm Ganesh Chakyan.
On Super Tuesday, the voters put John McCain on the fast track to the GOP nomination. But the battle between Democrats Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama could last for months, with the nomination decided not by voters, but by superdelegates. It's very complicated, so tonight we're trying a new approach, something we call the fast draw, to explain who these superdelegates are and exactly what they do. Josh Landis and Mitch Butler have just joined CBS News, and welcome, guys.
Thanks, Katie. So what a lot of people don't realize is that when a race is really close, our democratic system does something a little bit undemocratic. It takes power away from the voters.
Remember back in 2000, the presidential race was decided by the Supreme Court. And for the Democrats this year, another group of appointed officials will be calling the shots.
Pay no attention to the superdelegates behind the curtain.
Like the great and powerful Oz, these superdelegates are pulling the levers of power in your political party.
Which means your vote may not be what you think it is. Even if you and your party members across the nation choose one candidate, it does not guarantee that that person will become the nominee.
Here's why. When you cast a primary vote for your candidate, what you're really doing is telling a group of party officials, and these are the delegates, which candidate you want them to pick at the national convention. But not all of them have to listen to you. Among those delegates, there's an elite core called the superdelegates. These people are like political wizards. They have the power to support any candidate they want, even change their minds at the last minute, and they answer to no one. In each political party, about 20% are superdelegates, enough that even if voters clearly pick one candidate, the wizards could still have enough power to tip the scales the other way.
And you know a lot of these people.
Jimmy Carter.
Bill Clinton.
Al Gore.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid.
The Republicans call their wizards unpledged delegates, and they're usually not big names, but they're just as powerful.
So that's how the system works. Now let's take a look at how things are shaping up right now. After the big showdown on Super Tuesday, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama are in a tight race for delegates. It's so close, it will be the superdelegates, not the voters, who choose the Democratic nominee this election year. On the Republican side, John McCain has a much larger lead over his competition, especially since Mitt Romney has dropped out of the race. But there, too, the power of the wizards outweighs the voters of any one state.
This superdelegate system may sound a bit anti-democratic, but the idea here is to give established party leaders more control so that primary voters don't get carried away with someone who looks good but could never win a general election.
These wizards are senators, representatives, governors, former presidents. They know the system very well, but do they know better than you do?
Let's hope so, because that's the way it works. And one of these days, the next leader of the free world could be in the hands of these superdelegates who don't answer to you or any other primary voter.
Pay no attention to the superdelegates behind the curtain.
Now I get it. So how do you become a superdelegate? It sounds like a great job and certainly all-powerful, right?
Yeah, well, it can be. You get to be a superdelegate or an unpledged delegate if you are a major elected official, from a big city mayor to a former president. They also include members of the national committee, and some are just specially appointed.
All right. Well, that was great, you guys. Thank you so much.
When I listened to that, I said, all this time, I've been thinking my one little vote really, 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 really counts. I mean, it may count, but it doesn't really, really, really count the way I thought it counted. So I just found that very interesting, and I wanted to share that video.
It's a revelation about how undemocratic the process is, and they still want to make believe this is a democracy.
Right. So no matter what the popular vote is, all of us can say, yes, almost 60%. But if super delegates decide, no, that's not who we want. We want this person. And then that's who it is. That's who the party will pick.
Sure. And we don't know how much money these super delegates are paid to make sure it's swayed in one direction. We have no idea, but Hillary is an old-time establishment politician that
that's why she will win.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that blacks will stop. They're already celebrating because they consider Trump the boogeyman. And that they don't want the boogeyman to get into the White House. So negating the fact that the record of the Clintons have proven without a shadow of a doubt that they were always the enemy to black people. I mean, how did we forget mass incarceration? I mean, like, it was, the architect was Bill and Hillary Clinton. The words that she described for getting the young people to become more submissive or to behave themselves, she said with her, out of her own filthy mouth, we got to get them to heal first. Black people forget these words that she mentioned. You make a dog heal. So in her mind, we are not human beings. Our young people are angry because There are no jobs for them. There's no community activities like a PAL. When is the last time you guys heard of a PAL, which stands for Police Athletic League? You know, where I grew up, there was always a PAL in the community of Bedford-Stuyvesant. We have no concern from those blacks who are the blacknecks to deal with the fact that you have an undemocratic election right here in Brooklyn. Tens of thousands of black people was disenfranchised along with others to make sure Hillary would take New York because she was losing, as quiet as it's kept y'all, she was losing upstate.
Of course.
Had to make sure she wouldn't lose New York in general by disenfranchising tens of thousands of blacks in New York City, in Brooklyn in particular, the largest borough of Brooklyn. And there was no protest from the black elected officials or the black pastors. Not one word of protest. The same similar situation when blacks was disenfranchised in Florida, November 2000.
Florida. Exactly.
And worse, 2004 in Ohio, when a black man named Ken Blackwell, to ensure he could keep his promise to Bush, he would be a second-term president. Blackwell was the Secretary of State of Ohio at the time. He assured Bush that he would make sure he would be a second-term president. This man, Ken Blackwell, disenfranchised his own black people in Ohio. And did you hear any protest from Dennis Kucinich, the so-called flaming liberal who wanted to become president? No.
Well, I can say this for certain. My cousin that lives in Miami, when he went to vote in 2001, he said that, like, the street, the normal route that he would take to go to the polls was completely blocked off. Like the street, what do you call those things? The barricades. And every way that you would try to turn, he couldn't make it. I think he said he had to, I think he said he tried to walk, but he couldn't, and so he didn't even get a chance to vote.
And they threw thousands of ballots in the trash can.
Oh, yeah. I remember them having reports about that.
And
I want to hear a little bit from Mother Hattie. Tell us what's been going on in Minneapolis. Any new Prince news or any updates of things happening in Minnesota? I heard in Chicago, Chicago has already surpassed like the 1,000 murder rate. 1,000 people murdered already this year.
Minneapolis is getting ready to try to catch up with them. We've been having a lot of that going on every, you know, weekend of people getting murdered and high-speed police chase, and it's just been, yeah, that's what's going on here. I haven't gotten any updates from the Prince situation other than the fact that they were saying that, of course, there's always this air around drug and who knows, but particularly when one is getting ready to do some social activism with their music, who knows what the real truth on anything is. And I guess you probably heard on the national news, because this is where I got it from, that the doctor that was supposed to be flown in was there, and that was the individual that found him. I guess it wasn't the person, the regular person, but the doctor sent his son that worked with people who had drug addictions. And so I was just always wondering, well, if it was a doctor there that found him, why did it take them so long to say that? It was weeks and weeks before that was said. It was just, I don't know, it was just a little bit odd to me how that was not just said from the very beginning, because you wonder, well, who found him? Who was there? And that sort of thing. So no one will ever know. Not really.
I don't think. International Inquirer, they said he was down to 85 pounds. And he was depending on God because of his religious belief in the Jehovah's Witnesses, that he didn't want to see a doctor, to go to the hospital. He was depending on God to deal with his health crisis. But the man was down to 85 pounds. I don't know if that to be believed, but we do know that he was fighting the record company called Warner Brothers. We do know that he made a statement on this late talk show hosted by this black fella who said that why didn't they tell us the truth when we were in school that there were 8 presidents before George Washington, and one of them was a black man named John Hanson, who was a Moor. He said, don't lie about the history of this country. He said, let me hear the truth and let me decide what I want to believe or not to believe. But the very idea, he said, this was kept a secret from us.
So, well, you know, he feels quite offended, like many of us do, that we went to school for, you know, at least 12 years, or, you know, if you went to school and graduated from high school, or you went to school for some amount of time, and there was just so much that was kept from us, period.
Gotcha.
And, I mean, I know it sounds radical, but if some people can say that they want to sue, I think they're suing, I want to say they may be suing the United States government, EPA, I believe, but let me not state that because I don't have it all correct. But what I want to say is I feel like I want to sue the United States Department of Education because they completely miseducated us and withheld information that would have helped my self-esteem, me personally, period, to grow into a better human being, knowing more about my ancestors, my real history, and having a sense of pride in myself and my people instead of growing up disliking myself, disliking my hair, disliking different things about me and my people. I had to grow out of that because we were taught that we were slaves, and that was just our life. We came over here as slaves, you know.
But
that's detrimental and terrifying to a child and their self-esteem growing up.
See, we have to be fully aware of the fact that imperialism have no respect for an oppressed class. It has to make sure that the oppressed class is kept in a captive state, starting with the physical and above all the mind factor.
That goes back to what Brother Brown mentioned earlier tonight, the colonized mind.
Yes.
Keeping us in a colonized mental state.
It is to their benefit that we are, listen, there's always this ongoing war that's never going to end to control the black man's brains. Because he knows that if we ever knew who we were, that Dr. John Henry Clark, who was one of my mentors, he said slavery was a brief interruption of our glorious past. We have no knowledge of our glorious past, and that the richness that Africa has still going with their natural rare earth resources is being looted by these same imperialist minds that fomented warfare in Northern Africa. I keep saying Middle East, but it's Northern Africa. And they don't want us to know the real history about our people.
Well, let me correct myself. Let me share this, Canty, a hot topic. The murder rate in Chicago is up 84% this year.
84%?
I heard someone, 84%. I heard someone say there were over 1,000 murders in Chicago. That's why you always have to research and check it out yourself. Don't just go by what people say, because Chicago has had approximately 131 homicides so far, which represents an 84% increase over the period.
You know, there was some time ago, a few months back, maybe 6 to 8 months ago, and they were talking about these murders that were going on in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, they were talking about a lot of these murders were not black-on-black crime, but other organized people that were doing some of this, and some were, I guess, Mexican gangs, and some were the organized crime groups.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I don't have any, I don't know if that's true, if it's accurate information.
You know, it was one of the congresswomen for the area. She actually brought that to the floor or had a press conference about exactly what you're saying, because that's what the community kept telling her. So the community got together and they went to her office and talked to her and told her this is not what it seems, what the news is reporting, that this is just black on black crime. Oh, black people just really going around just shooting each other all up and down the street in Chicago. No, that's not what's happening. And I think it's more of like what happened to Rekia Boyd. Like what happened with her with that cop off duty, so he say, or whatever, and he just shooting. Mm. And you shoot some innocent people.
This girl,
see, if he didn't get caught, then it would have just been, oh, black on black crime.
That's right. And look how long it took to get that prosecutor to be forced to resign. Or was she defeated in that? Yeah, she was defeated in a race.
You're talking about in Chicago, Alvarez, exactly. Yeah. I have to say the people got together and they had a campaign by Anita, like by Felicia, hashtag by Anita, and they got her out of office without endorsing another candidate. So they did that.
Yeah.
Black Lives Matter groups and some other organizers did that.
Alvarez, she can keep her license to be a lawyer, and she would never face being indicted. But the very idea of the bar indicted for obstruction of justice. But when it comes to black people,
right,
we don't have the bodacious leadership to make sure that we get some justice. You got a Congressional Black Caucus. You got the NAACP. You got these black pastors.
But they're not going to do anything.
Nothing.
We have to, now it is time for us, and I have to give it up to these young people. They are doing this, and we now have to start holding these people accountable, and we have to start realizing that this has been a game. We've all been bamboozled, like Malcolm tried to tell us a long time ago. We've been hoodwinked, we've been bamboozled. Okay, it's time to really wake up and just realize this is a Ponzi scheme these people running. It's just a straight-up game. We've been tricked. And it's just time to just wake up and say, okay, let's really, really, really get involved and work towards making all of our lives better. Like, I was listening to this person argue. He said he was a young white guy, and he felt threatened by dialogue that stated that black and Latino and Asian people need to unite. He felt threatened by that statement. And so with I believe it was an Asian lady, and she said, you shouldn't feel threatened by that statement. You should feel like, oh, well, you know, that's fine, because the wealth should be spread equally anyway, instead of one group of people always having all of the advantage. He's at the top of the food chain. He's a white male. You should have everything has been handed to you. And all you have to do is just reach out there and grab it, take it, like you do. So, you know, it is really time for us to just really wake up and come together. I love what Brother Brown said, get out of that colonized mind. And it's not about hating anybody. It's not about disliking anybody. None of that. No one to be superior. It's about all of us living as human beings. Everybody having what they need, decent housing, education, food, clothes, time off. We work entirely too much here in this country. It's absolutely ridiculous, and I didn't really realize it until I lived in Miami for a while. And the people that I would speak to, like they came here for a better life, they would say, we came over here for a better life. You have to work 40-something hours just to have a decent paycheck here. And I was like, yeah, that's the norm. You work, you know, 40 or more hours a week, and you're paid. And they were like, you know, that's just crazy. And just hearing the contrast and their cavalier, relaxed lifestyle. You know, in the Caribbean, they always, everything is, you know, take your time and relax. It's all of this. on a schedule, on the clock, that we have to do all this working 40 hours a week and hustling. And, you know, I see so many young men now that have back problems, knee problems, hip problems. I said, damn, if they're not sick with diabetes, then it's a hip back problem. Or, you know, so I'm like, my goodness. You know, we all just work like just mules.
The working condition. And, you know, saying that you thought it only affect older people, like I said, it's affecting our younger people because...
It's affecting the young people.
They can't find those kind of jobs that would be suitable where they can survive and pay. And then the more you, the harder you work, the longer you work, your landlord can now throw you a monkey wrench and not want to renew your lease unless you want to pay this exorbitant amount of money for your rent increase.
Because oh, yes.
Your building is targeted for being gentrified, and he wants fixed income people out of his building. This mayor here in New York is one of the biggest counterfeit liberals like never before. He can't even think about getting a handle on the lack of housing, decent housing, for people that are working poor. Forget the poor. Just the working poor. Cannot find affordable housing in their own neighborhood. I'm seeing Mexicans building these condos in my neighborhood, and these condos are for rich white kids and rich Asian kids. These Asians are coming over here from Taiwan and Hong Kong, paying six figures for their green card. They come from prominent families from those two countries. And you see them walking around here, only walking with white people, wearing the top-of-the-line fashions. And they have this air about them that they think they're white. And they're living very large, in these condos, and paying upfront cash to go to this expensive school called Pratt Institute, which is a college for art and sculpture and architecture and other technology, but it's a very expensive college. These kids coming in here paying upfront 4 years of scholarship money upfront. And if you go to Chinatown, you want to see how it benefits for the Chinese in Chinatown, just go to Chinatown and see how they are forcing the Chinese out of their neighborhood in Chinatown. I saw a Chinese man one winter, this past winter, walking with sneakers with a hole in his sole. You can see his foot coming through the sneaker. And they're pushing him out of Chinatown with these hotels and condos. But these Chinese that are coming over here from Hong Kong and Taiwan, they're coming into Brooklyn where they're filling up these condos built by Mexicans in the midst of blacks and Latinos living in the area. But they're forcing the blacks and Latinos out of the area because the rent is no longer affordable. Even in the Bush recession, which is outside Bed-Stuy, it is unbelievable how the rent is going up.
Well, you know what? See, that's why people should have voted for that man that campaigned on the rent too damn high. People laughed at him, but he was talking about it back then. You know, he was said serious.
He wasn't serious about his campaign because if you're serious, see, Harold Washington was serious. And when he lost, he told the people, still wanting to run again, just keep having corporate clutches and having people come to corporate clutches and giving donations. And if you want me to run again, I will run again. He did run again, and he won.
He won.
But,
Well, look, Kansas, let's take a break. And when we come back, I want to hear another one of Delta's Hot Topics because I know she has another one. And also, still, this Afrika Bambaataa story is just like, oh, my goodness. This is causing a lot of talk in the community, in the hip-hop community. And up there where you are, Kanti, I hear they're having major discussions, and they want him to, like, come out and speak. And Afrika Bambaataa went to, I think, like, one of the Fox News channels to give an interview. And so the black media, of course, is saying, why didn't you come to the people? Why didn't you come to us? Why didn't you go and give them the exclusive? So Boston also. But we'll be right back. You're listening to the Lotus Place Radio.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
All right, we're back here at the Lotus Place, and we want to hear what's on your mind. And Delta, do you have a hot topic for us?
Yes. And seeing I got another bathroom story, and I knew y'all say Delta just stuck on these bathroom stories. Okay, we have right here in my hometown in Ocean Springs, Mississippi, we have two young men in the bathroom. Now the young lady is saying the two young boys came into the bathroom and raped her. But she says she didn't report the rape because she was afraid, and she reported it the next day. Now, see, President Obama now is trying to sue, take funding from the school if the boys can't go in the girls' bathroom, if they feel like they're a girl today and they want to go up in the bathroom, whatever they identifying themselves with that day. They can change up every day.
No, it's not. Wait a minute. I want to correct this, Sister Donna. That's not the truth.
But
okay, it's not about nobody that said today, I'm a male and I'm going to go in the bathroom as a female. That's not what it consists of.
No, that's not basically what it. You know, the transgenders are saying, but I'm saying like a pedophile, if they want to get into the bathroom.
Okay, it's not. I know, but you. It's still, what I'm saying is that a man can't go in a woman's bathroom. Okay, that has nothing to do with the law and what they passed. They're talking about people who have had sex change.
They're saying what you identify with. Ain't that what,
No, they're talking about people that identify themselves as transgender who have had sex change.
That's right.
That's what a transgender is. That's not saying that I'm going to say today, I was born a male, but I'm telling somebody today I want to be a female and not go in a women's bathroom. That's not how it's defined.
Well, you know, she's right in the sense that it's based upon if a child says, I identify myself as a girl, but I'm really a boy. In the schools, it's a little bit different. I understand what you're saying in terms of other public, but they really do mean that. You don't have to have a sex change. It means that if you are identifying, but now the thing, Sister Dunning, is this, Delta Cougar, they're not. What they're saying is that person has to have a track record of identifying as that other gender. So you can't just switch up one day and be there and next day you're this and next day you're that. It has to be someone who actually identifies as that. But you don't have to have a sex change. It's what they are saying they are.
What I'm trying to say is that a lot of times when laws are written and defined, they can be challenged. Okay, we in the black community don't have the wherewithal to stand back and do nothing. Number one, we have no agenda. We accept anything that they throw at us, and then we look to pray and get out of it. And it's not working. We have gotten out of nothing since 1865. We had more land as ex-slaves doing this so-called years of reconstruction that we own right now in 2016. So, like Clarence Bell said, you sing beautiful songs, you say beautiful prayers, the God that you're praying to must be deaf because none of your conditions have changed. There have been no changes in the 8 years of Obama other than the so-called health threat, which was a scam, and that is the only thing that black people allegedly piggybacked on during this whole administration of 8 years. Nothing has changed, so we put that away. We put that in the trash can. Okay? We already know what time of day it is. The problem is, what are we going to do? We sit here and we talk. What are we organized to do? But have marches and protests. We have not organized around no economic means whatsoever. You know, so when you talk about one big happy family with the Latinos and Asians, guess what? Most Latinos can pass for white when you think. How you think Tom Cruise and Mark Rubio got to where they are today? They're Latinos. But if they changed their last name, you wouldn't even know whether they were white or not. So we need to understand that. We can't change the damn thing the way we look. We're locked out of everything. So as Marcus Garvey said, if they lock you out and you have all of this money and resources in your own community, why you can't organize yourself? We so busy trying to make them accept us. I don't care if they don't accept me. It don't matter to me. I don't want them to accept me. I don't care if they don't accept me.
As long as you respect me.
So I'm going to make you respect me, but when I say I don't care if you don't like me or whatever, it's because I don't need you. I don't wake up in the morning, and I know I'm retired, but I don't wake up in the morning feeling that I have to succumb to certain elements of white supremacy. Because I don't. I'm not going to accept it. And if I have to stand by myself and not accept the behavior, okay, then that's what I have to do. But I live in the poorest county in Maryland. Okay, the illiteracy rate of young black males is like 65% in elementary school. 65% of the young black males past age of 9 years old cannot read and comprehend. So what I did, I organized around that. I went to the educational bookstore. I got reading books. I got English books. And I got math books. And on the last of June, the third week of June, I'm opening up my school out of my pocket. I haven't asked no churches for no donations because I don't care. I sacrificed this because I know there's a need. And if I had to go pick them kids up and bring them to my own house and teach them and feed them, then so be it. That's what I would do. But I have to do something.
Bless you, Brown. Bless you, brother.
I'm not going to sit down there and continue to complain about what these white people in the poorest county that I live in are not doing. I've been to the school board meetings. I've been to all of these meetings. And I see that they're not going to do anything for them. I've been to 10 churches who reluctantly said no. Okay, so I'm not going to worry about them. I had a pastor tell me just a month ago that there's no such thing as disenfranchised children in black America. And I thought he was smoking some of that good shit. Excuse my language.
He must have been.
Yeah, he had some of that. He had some of that loud.
What they say, that lean.
Yeah, you tell me that there's no disenfranchisement in the black community when we have children who still don't eat on a regular basis, and we said, and we're complaining about Hillary Clinton. I don't even look at that. You know why? I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm gonna shut up because it ain't making no difference. I don't care if you win or lose. It's not going to change the state of black America. And if we don't understand that by now, guess what? Like Francis Wilson said, everything you think you understand will only confuse you.
right.
That's it. With everything you think you understand, we're only confused because we have refused all these years to be African people. And if you're African people, then you go back and you utilize the element of Sankofa, you go back to your roots. And if your roots
back
was not
to your roots.
Right. And if your roots were not rooted in what our ancestors did prior to them being captured as prisoners of war and then made slaves, then guess what? Then we got a serious problem.
Yeah.
We have an identity problem. We already know our children got an identity problem. We have one, too, that we can't see the evidence of what's going on in this country, and we're still sitting back complaining and praying. And we ain't trying to change nothing. And they're still doing the same thing over and over and over. And we're doing the same thing, getting the same results.
Hey, Brown, when Marcus Garvey said they stole our language, stole our culture, stole our womanhood, our manhood, stole our everything that would make you a human being. We're the only ethnic group that's defamed in the Constitution. It says it in the 3/5.
Okay, we already know the Constitution was written 200 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
so we already know what's in
no.
Wait a minute.
No.
We already know what's in there. Okay, they're not going to change the Constitution.
No, I'm saying,
but the thing about it, now that we know what the problem is, why are we still complaining about it?
Because we don't have leadership to help us.
Be your own leader. I didn't need anybody to lead me to do what I needed to do for these kids.
True that. All right. Okay. Well, I'm saying we have to have a kind of an agenda, a black agenda, that's going to be benefiting the unborn generation. We're not
okay, well, then we'll put one in place. We put one in place. Like Shira said earlier, we put an agenda in place. All of these lines we got that have read, all of these books, and Dr. Clark and Dr. Ben, what are we going to do with the information?
True.
Are we going to just continue to dialogue about it? Because if we do, then it ain't no sense in having a program. We have to put something in place. Even if you had to put something in place by yourself.
And I have to go back to like what Mother Icy Hot always says. We need to start writing policy. We need to change. For instance, changing the policies whereas these police officers some type of affect their pension when there's a record of you being reckless on the job or either being drug tested after you shoot someone. So I mean, just different things that we need to start lobbying for and pushing for. Changes that will really, really impact our community.
Well, you know, I'm going to say this. There's always consequences to every action.
Mm-hmm.
We have not placed consequences on none of these police officers. None of them. Only thing we do is we go give a hand of your head lawyer when somebody get killed and he go to church and they have a meeting. And they pray, and they write a check, and the shit is over with.
Oh,
all of the people that got killed, from Michael Brown, Trayvon Martin, all these people that got killed, it'd be the same identical thing.
Same identical thing.
Yeah, they got $1 million paychecks, you understand me? They turn around the next day after they cash a check, they went and bought a Mercedes. Yeah, they went and bought a Mercedes, they went to the Jew, and they spent money on some diamond rings and fine clothes and all that. They never pull the resources together and say, you know what? Let's start a protection element of security for our own community. It's legal. They got in every white community, they got cop watches and they got their own security system. If they can start it,
they're on patrol.
We can start it.
And they pay for it. Yeah. And they pay for it. I remember the teachers in Detroit at some of the schools, the teachers came together and they paid for the security for the schools because the school, DPS, the Detroit Public School System, said that they could no longer pay for security at the schools when they knew that the teachers' cars were being broken into, stolen tires, stolen, all kinds of stuff, teachers' phones, purses, wallets, things being stolen from them. Remove security from the school. So the teachers came together and pay for security. So we have to start doing these things ourselves. We can't keep waiting on somebody else and complaining when they don't do it because they've demonstrated that they're not going to do it.
See, it's gone from the sublime to the ridiculous as far as how our community is being dismantled, starting with the schools. Look at how old schools they're closing down in Detroit, in Chicago. And where are these pastors to not see this? Because their children don't go to these public schools. Their children are in private schools or away at these boarding schools. Okay? And they have no affinity to the people that they're supposed to be serving other than just giving them entertainment, because black people love to be entertained, and they are not paying attention to these pastors that don't understand that they are supposed to be serving the people, but they're serving their pockets.
You keep talking about the past. How long has this been going on? I'm 60 years old, all right? The past has been doing this longer than I've been born. So why are we even entertaining that element? We who have studied African history know that, number one, they lying to us. About the whole element of religion, they lying to us. Okay, so we don't need to even deal with that. We need to say to self, like I said up here, when I wrote letters to all these churches trying to help and understand the element of what's going on in the black community, I got no responses. So I took off on my own list 8 years ago. I don't need their help. I don't ask for their help. I'm not interested in their help. I'm interested in solutions. I can complain until I die. But as long as I got my feet on the ground and I got my and the dirt ain't thrown in my face, it's up to me to do what I can do to bring a change.
That's right.
Make a change.
I don't care about, that's right. We have to do what we need to do. The policies and procedures, like you said a while ago, about these police officers, they're protected by unions. I look at the stuff up in Baltimore right now. They got the best lawyers because the union paid for them. So we need to get together without being on the internet and without being on the telephone in our own community and devise solutions of protection for ourselves. If nobody's going to protect us, I believe in the Second Amendment rights. We hear all of these white folks coming out at these Donald Trump rallies talking about their guns. They got millions of guns. They got more guns than they can manufacture. They got more guns in the white community in America than they got over in Israel fighting the war. And they got all kinds. So we sitting around, those of us who are not convicted felons, we have to utilize that same right. As many guns, you can buy a shotgun every day. And if you mean filling up my house with shotguns that every one, so be it. When I see something that don't look right in my community, they're going to get busted in the handcuffs. That's all. I don't care about going to jail. But if you don't send a message to the people that's hurting you, then they will continue to hurt you. So we have not sent a message. Like I said, we go get one of the handkerchief head lawyers. He gets on TV in front of the camera. He calls shopping. They go to church. They split the money. He stays with the family. They have a meeting. They go and get a check. And he gets spent the money for settling the case, and he's off in another neverland, waiting for the next Negro to get shot. It's a fact. It's a continuing process because we have never addressed the issue.
Oh, Brother Brown, King B and Delta Nice and Hot. Oh my gosh, I just love hearing the wisdom that pours from all of you. Excuse me. I know Delta wants to hear her letter.
Yeah, let's see what my letter is tonight. Maybe everybody got an input on it.
Okay, so this is a letter from, she's calling herself Miss Maya. Okay, and so Miss Maya writes in and she says, Delta, I hope that you can help me. I need your advice in this situation with my daughter.
after many discussions on the design of her prom dress, we both decided on a prom dress that would be cute and appropriate for her senior prom. So when my daughter decided to purchase the dress, I was not with her. When she brought the dress home, I noticed that the dress exposed a lot of cleavage. So we agreed that we would pin her cleavage. We would pin her cleavage so that her breasts would not be exposed as much. However, she did not do this as I suggested. I want to ask you, in this situation, because I'm not sure how I should discipline her or how I should explain to her how she should not feel as though she needs to show all of her assets when dressing. I know that some girls like to wear prom dresses that expose quite a bit of skin, but I asked my daughter not to do that because that is not necessary. She doesn't have to expose herself in that way. So could you please tell me, how would you address this situation? How should I talk to my daughter about her dress?
Well, number one is she wouldn't go next year to prom because she disobeyed me. And then I would tell her, you do not have to show all of your body in order to get a man, in order to draw a man. This is what the media have put out. And I must say, maybe not this mother, but we got a lot of mothers now and grandmothers showing cleavage. And kids see
this. Did you say the grandmothers?
The grandmothers are showing cleavage because the average, look at Cicely Tyson. Cicely Tyson, they had her picture up and Barbara Bush picture up, and they the same age. Cicely Tyson looked every bit of 70 years old. Barbara Bush look 170. Okay, so what I'm saying, grandmothers, people are taking care of themselves more today. Grandmothers are more fitted. They bodies. They're not like they used to be. But where the problem come in, grandmothers don't want to be grandmothers no more. They want to be teenagers. And kids see how we are dressing. First, we have to, it starts in the home, and look like this mother trying to do the right thing by her daughter. But kids are influenced by other kids. But she has to set her daughter down and let her know, you don't have to get a man this way. You can, because really when you do it, you're doing it to attract men. That's basically what you're doing it for. It's not so much for yourself. It's mostly to attract men. And a decent man don't want everybody looking at his woman's body. They really don't. Not a decent man. And a sophisticated woman, she don't have to show her body. All she have to do is dress very, very nice. And she must go to Delta's Facebook page. And I'm going to set up me a Facebook page. But she can go to Dunning's Facebook page and see how I dress. When I go out, I put on me a nice pantsuit, a very nice pantsuit. When I met my husband, I was in blue jeans and in a long shirt, but looking very fine, I must say. So, but what I'm saying is, you don't have to do all that. Just be yourself. Mm-hmm. The problem is just like Lil' Kim. The kids see Lil' Kim got titties just as big and had all these boobs put in. Wendy Williams and had some boobs put in so big, she letting it all hang out on TV. When she walked with them boobs, she about to fall over. And this is what kids are seeing. It's not that anymore. And we as leaders and in the community, most of everybody in the community now, I hate to say, But most of all, I'll say to this mother, she will not go to the prom next year. That will be one of her punishments. She will not go. And I will discipline her for this. And I will let her know and set her down. You do not have to attract a man by showing all your body. Because I must give you a little history. When Papa met me, Papa wanted to jump right in the sack. I don't even mean lying. Men want to do that. But you cannot let them do that. And if you dress any kind of way, they will treat you any kind of way.
Mm.
And you have to stand firm. You
shouldn't wear something so revealing.
Don't wear something so revealing that it'll draw a man to you. But when they do that, it's to attract the opposite sex of a man. That's all it is. So, mother, she will not go next year. That is my thing. She needs to be disciplined, and she will not go. I would set her down and try to talk to her. Now we can hear from Icy Hot, because she may have something.
Well, I think it's style, the reason they also dress scantily. I can remember dressing scantily when I was in college, and it wasn't to attract anybody. It was just because it was the style. Remember the Sizzlers and the hot pants were just, it was just the style. It didn't have anything to do with attracting anybody.
Not in your day, mother. Not in your day. Now, this day and time, and these younger kids, it's all about sex now.
Well, some of them, yes. Some of them.
Yes. Look, all you gotta do is sit around and look at the babies.
And what do you see when you look at the
well,
baby?
You know.
You know what I meant by that now. I don't mean it in a negative way.
You say
you know what I'm saying?
Don't get her started on our babies.
We got a lot of, a lot of babies.
Oh, God.
We need some more of them. We need some more of them because they're killing us up too fast.
I'm not saying, y'all, hear me good. I'm not saying don't have sex. Who loves it? Now, don't nobody love to have sex more than me. Don't nobody love to have it more than me. I really do. But what I'm saying is, I got a husband, and when you don't have a husband, you shouldn't be just flashing it all around over town. And if you do it in decent, in order. The Bible said don't let the right hand know what the left hand doing.
If
I don't have to know your business. You don't have to flunk your business out for the world to see. The young folks put it out for everybody to see it.
They put it out there.
And then when you put it out there, think about it now. When you put it out there and the man says something to you, you get mad. Why get mad with him when you put it out there? But I must say my number one thing is, hear my voice, young ladies. You do not have to dress real sexy with everything hanging out to attract a man. Just be yourself.
You know, I wanted to share something too about, I was talking with one of my former students, and she's in college and she has one more year, and she shared with me that she was an exotic dancer. And so in doing that, and she said, you know, she talked about it and how, you know, the money was very, very good, and that's why she did it, and she wanted to, you know, make money, earn money while she was in college, but, you know, working for a small amount of money wasn't cutting it for her to make ends meet. Mm-hmm. And so that means an exotic dancer means you're dressed very scantily and you're dancing, you know, pretty provocative. And that's what she was talking about. But she said, you know, and I asked her, what are the pros, what are the cons of doing that kind of work? And then she was telling me how, you know, the money is good.
But you just proved my point, Icy Hot. She's doing it provocative dance to track men is to give money. You just proved my point. You just answered your own question. That's okay.
Now, no, I didn't have a question. I didn't have a question. Let me say this. I'm going to still say she's doing that. That's her job. When we're talking about that was her job. When we're talking about the average one like we were talking about, I think women dress provocative for a number of reasons, young girls do. Because they're flaunting them, they're flaunting, and I don't think so. I don't think that all of that, that's just it. And I think it's style, I think it's a fad, and they go through that phase in their life and then they dress better later on.
But I must say this, young girls, I don't mean to put young girls down. I'm just saying it's just the time. When I give y'all advice, my listening audience, I want my listening audience to know that I love my radio land. I am only giving you the how I have been raised. And when I was at home, now, I'm not going to say I didn't speak and wear a little halter top. I wore a little halter top. But a lot of this stuff they're wearing now, I don't do it. If you're a size 24, why put on a size 6? Okay. But it's the truth.
Well, because some people like it like that.
But you can't make a whore out of a housewife.
A lot of men do.
Well, I was getting ready to say, I was just talking about one of the professors down at her college today, and he sure turned that whore into a housewife because he married her, and they had some babies, and the woman was a prostitute, and he set her down, turned her around, and said, yeah. So people say that, but they do it all the time. The prostitute probably really doesn't want to be a prostitute. She just doesn't have a way to maybe make a decent, good living, and when she finds a good man, she changes.
Yeah,
now, some of them you can't.
Okay, now let me say this before we get
caught. I know another one. They tell me the same thing. The lady was a prostitute, and she found a wonderful man, and they got together and had a couple of kids, and that was it.
But I must say, go ahead, Canty. Let's hear a man's point of view. What you think about women, Canty?
A man who has respect for himself is not going to be with a woman that is a prostitute already and is a hardcore to be a street walker who, if she meets a guy who wants to now share his money with her, get her pregnant, and she make him a wife. And the social responsibility, he's got to deal with the social responsibility of people talking about, hey, I knew her, she was a prostitute, he's married to a prostitute. That is a social taboo. And a no self-respecting man is going to marry a woman that has that kind of background. It's just a social responsibility that is a very high price to pay. I don't care how she might turn around. What happens if that gorilla on her back comes to her and says, you don't want just one man. You want any man that's going to pay your figure.
But wouldn't that be somewhat of a inconsistency, because it's not necessarily different. Women don't necessarily become prostitutes. Well, number one, all prostitutes are not streetwalkers, by the way.
No.
Some of them work with a clientele. Look at Heidi Fleiss. They dealt with a specific clientele. And then number two, I mean, I'm not trying to promote that at all, by no means.
Yeah,
I don't think
that's
any.
You talking
that,
like you?
That's no way to make money. The best way to do is to get your education. But I mean, let's look at Donald Trump. What is he? I mean, well, anyway, and then we go on to what he has, but the woman necessarily is not doing prostitution because she wants to be or have a gorilla on her back.
No.
Many of them have
desires and hopes and dreams. There have been women that were prostitutes that work the dancing and then do prostitution as well. They went to medical school so they could get through medical school.
But that's no excuse, because there are other women. You talking to a woman, I must say right here, Miss Hattie, don't have a lot of education, but you looking at a woman who have bought 6 homes, and I've done it by working hard. I did not go out and say, okay, I'm gonna have to be a prostitute in order to get this what I wanted. No, I have worked very, very hard. The problem
they feel like they work very hard too.
See, but no, the young folks today don't want to work. They don't want to work. They want it easy.
That's right.
They want it easy.
Well, some people do look for fast money. They look for fast money. It's your mentality. And if they want the fast money and they can't get it, that's the way they can get it. They'll do what they have to do to get it, to get to where they want to get to, drop that and clean up their lives. They do that all the time.
It's very risky for health-wise as well as the idea of your reputation.
Oh, absolutely. But I'm going to say this, too. This young lady, she was saying, well, it was degrading. That was the negative side of it. Positive side is you earn money, but at the same time, these people that are going out and they're not prostitutes, but they still have risky lives and they're doing many things, their health risk is just as equal, but without the money.
Look, I got to go. I'll talk to you another time. Sunday. We talked Sunday, okay?
And we are at the end of the show. Thank you, King B. Thank you, Aisha Ha. Thank you, Dale.
Bless your heart.
Thank you, Brother Brown. Thank you, Scotty. Yes, bless you. Thank you, listeners. And we will be back on Sunday night. What a great conversation. Peace and good night. Namaste.
Namaste.